My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. I'll be here with Kedrick Prince and Brad Sturdy. We'll talk a little bit about the Illini victory, 88-60 over Southern University. It was a good night overall for the Illini, and we'll check in and see what we know about Nico Moretti's ankle injury. We'll be right back. Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by broadcasting on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. We have over 20 stations, including stations in Chicago, St. Louis, Champaign, Decatur, Springfield, Bloomington, the Quad Cities, Rockford, Peoria, Marion, Quincy, and Jacksonville, amongst others. You can reach over 11 million people in the state of Illinois by partnering with us. Send me an email, mike@IlliniGuys.com, and let's find a way that we can build your business together. First up, we've got Kedrick Prince, Director of Recruiting for Illini Guys. He's going to talk to us a little bit about what he saw tonight. Kedrick, this was a game that the Illini started a little slow, maybe the first 8 to 10 minutes of the game, but then they got it in the gear, into gear largely behind Terrence Shannon Jr. just taking over the game. What were your thoughts as you watched the game unfold tonight?
Well, my first thought was I really wanted to see them come out and dominate. That was my first thing. And I actually hoped that they would shoot the three ball a little bit better and their free throws a little bit better. I don't think I got lucky enough. I mean, the way the whole weekend went, I shouldn't be surprised. But I was really hoping to see that. But it didn't happen. I mean, now, you know, you have to give me credit. You always say, hey, either they can or they can't. And for the last 2 years, you talked about how they can't. And what's really weird, Mike, these kids coming in, Justin Harmon and Marcus Domas, and even Quincy, they're good shooters. But it's like they get to Illinois and they can't do it. For the life of me, I don't understand it. I really don't.
Yeah, maybe, who knows, you know, the Assembly Hall, maybe the largest concrete structure without, you know, whatever the thing is that makes it a landmark. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's just a tough place to shoot. I'm not certain, but I always get worried because by about this time of the year, you have a decent idea of what you're dealing with. Now, this team has a lot of newcomers and they can get better and acclimate. I will tell you though, that I feel like Luke Goody's starting to get the confidence where he might be one of those guys that comes in just like Plummer a few years ago, that you can get a realistic and good shot at nailing a three or two, and they start maybe running some plays for him.
You know what? I think there was one I knew Brad ran. I think he got it for Terrence Shannon at the top of the key. And you know what? But you got to do that. And that's what we talked about the last podcast. If you remember, we talked about running sets and things for kids that are struggling and try to get them shots. And I think that's awesome. I really do. And it's good to see him. But you look at some guys, Mike, it's kind of like they're aiming it, especially Quincy. He looks like he's aiming it. And then, you know, Marcus doesn't seem confident shooting in the Marquette game. He seemed pretty confident. But right now, they read the papers and they know what's going on. And, you know, they really do. But that's one of my concerns. And I do. Moving forward, I think they're going to be okay. But I will tell you this. Nico really impressed me. I mean, like, I was not sold on him at first, and, you know, I'm going to own it. But I'll tell you what, he runs the team pretty good. I mean, he really does. He's looking better and better. And he does a good job handling the basketball, and he's not looking to shoot, but he can get to the rim, and he's trying to find his teammates. He finds his teammates probably better than anybody on the team, and you know, got to give props to my colleague, Brad Sturdy. He was trying to convince me of that, and tonight I really saw it.
Yeah, Brad was about the first on that bandwagon, really, as they were looking at Nico. Brad liked him when he was, you know, before he had ever really committed to University of Illinois. So I think he was on that first. I also found that Imani Hansberry is really starting to show again. 22 minutes, yet he ends up with 7 rebounds. I mean, he's automatic to get somewhere over 5, it seems like.
Yep.
Shot 4 for 5, even had 3 assists, and you know, limited himself to 1 turnover. I thought he played very well, and you could see him being kind of a nightmare as he gets older in the Big Ten Conference.
You know what? I do, and this is the depth, and what I really want to see, I want to see them develop the young guys, Nico, and I want to see them develop Drayvon and also Imani. I want to see those guys stay around. I don't want to see them get unhappy and get in the transfer portal and leave. I really hope they can develop them, but you got to play them. Somehow you have to play those guys in 5 minutes. And tonight, in games like this, you know, this is really good. I think it's great for them. You know, and if you can somehow put them out there with the right guys and give them maybe 5 or 10 minutes a game, I don't think that's going to be bad. I mean, I really don't, because I think all these kids are aware that this roster is older, but it'd be really, really nice to see all of them get minutes, because when they're gone next year, yeah, you get the transfer portal, but it'd be nice having some guys with some experience that know your system and know what to expect of you as a coach and the whole nine yards.
Yeah, especially because we know they're going to lose, you know, at least 5 or 6 due to graduation or, you know, getting done with as much as they want to do for, you know, not including COVID years. I thought that we had, you know, Gibbs LaHorne played good. It was hard to tell if that was a sprained ankle at the end. Looked like he kind of twisted it at the very ending there. I don't know if he got it hooked on somebody at the sideline, a photographer.
It looked like it.
But he did have some good moments as well, although the turnovers are probably going to drive Coach Underwood a little bit crazy.
You know what? It kind of was that way for me. I want to see them clean it up. I really do. Just look like one of the best teams in the country. They look like they're disinterested when they play teams like this. I get it. But some teams that are just mentally tough, they go out and they try to pound these teams and don't give them any hope. Illinois started slow again, and I mean, it's hard. It is, because, you know, you just play Friday night, and then you got finals, and, you know, and then you got playing another weak opponent in Western Illinois. Sorry, Leatherneck fans. I mean, it shouldn't be that negative. My son went to school there, but, you know, that should be another cupcake win, and then the schedule is going to ramp up a little bit. So, you know, this is the time to get some of these kids action and to try to, you know, iron some of this out. I mean, Dane Danger's free throws. I mean, I've had a lot of people message me thinking, how is Brad keeping this guy off the floor? He produces. I mean, no matter how you look at it, he produces. And if he can give you 10 to 16 every night, 4 or 5 rebounds, I wouldn't leave us sitting on the bench. That's just me.
Yeah. Well, of course, him and Guerriere really, they played well at the start of the game. I think at one point the Illini had 14 points and Danger had 10 and Guerriere had 4 of them. And I do think that Danger produces well against the smaller teams, and maybe they can play him into a little bit better shape so that when the Big Ten season gets here, that he's, you know, prepared to go up against guys who will be able to challenge him a little bit more athletically. Because I'll tell you, there were a few plays tonight that he looked like a man amongst boys.
You know what, Mike, in defense of him, I don't think he looked that bad last year. I mean, I don't. You know, he started last year. He got a lot of minutes. And that's why I think people are kind of surprised or disappointed, because he's not getting, you know, very many minutes. So I'm not for sure. I know he can play against the big boys. I know he's capable of doing it. It's just the fact maybe, you know, I think it's a defensive thing for Coach Underwood. Maybe he's not sold on that still. And, you know, then you want to give Coleman his due. They're different players, but – again, it's hard to argue taking that many points away off a night, you know, because I think, you know, put it like this, if Kofi was playing, you know, against a really, really quick team, and I know, you know, Bane's not Kofi, you found a way to keep him on the floor. I will play the kid. That kid deserves 20, 25 minutes a game just because he is effective. He's going to give you something. He's even if he is not scoring and he gives you 8 points, he's going to rebound. And I think he's a pretty good shot blocker. He has long arms.
Yeah. And then one final comment here. I really think Terrence Shannon Jr. is very underrated in terms of his defensive skills. If you take a look and watch what he does, and generally he plays at the highest level, he doesn't take any you know, possessions off, takes usually the best player on the other team, the best wing, and he does a pretty darn good job of making life tough for them. And I got to tip the cap, because to score 24 points when you're working hard on the defensive end, that's not an easy thing to do. And I don't think he gets recognized enough for what he contributes on that end of the court.
The last two games, the coaches talked about how good he is defensively, how strong he is, and they also said the same thing about Ty Rogers. I think when you're coaching against Terrence Shannon, you can really appreciate it, because he does. He makes life heck for people. He's also a masterful trash talker, too. I mean, he's really kind of picked that up this year. I noticed it in the, I think it, what game was it? The Oakland game is when he kind of started doing it. And then it went to Marquette, and then it's just kind of trickling down. But sometimes, you know, that motivates you to get you to play. I don't have a problem with it, because he takes challenge in playing defense. And most people, when you guard like that, your offense struggles, but he doesn't. I mean, he really doesn't. And I think fans, like I've said before, you got to enjoy this, because he's a quiet kid, but he's really to me, honestly, he's one of the top one or two players in the conference. You know, obviously, you're going to have Zach Edey. You know, I don't know. I can't remember who else slipped my mind, but Watson, but from Michigan State. I just think, honestly, he is underrated. I think if Illinois was ranked higher, he would receive a lot more recognition. He needs to do well on the big stage, and I think he'll get more PR, because this kid deserves it. He's good, and he's gotten better since he left Texas Tech. His game is raised, you know, and people always say, you know, who's Coach Underwood made better? I know Kofi's one guy made Iowa better, but I think Terrence Shannon's a better player on the Underwood, because Brad allowed him to blossom and be who he is.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see him start moving up the draft charts. You know, he looks like a guy who will be mid to lower part of the second round, but with the athletic ability that he has, I wonder if he could creep up towards the start of the second round, because, you know, he can he's taller than Steve Bardo, who's 6'6". And with his ability to move like that, you know, he's a potential 3-and-D guy in the NBA, and that's a skill set that people love.
You know what? You're right. When you see him on TV, he's tall, but when you stand next to him, like you just mentioned, because Bardo's listed as 6'6", maybe 6'5" now because of his age, but I'll tell you, these people are sleeping on some of these kids. I mean, I know we're doing an Illinois basketball podcast, but look at Tommy DeVito, you know, for the Giants. The guy didn't get drafted, and people didn't – we Illinois fans knew how good he was. You saw, you know, his numbers rise and how good he was. And I've always said some of these kids need a chance. The pro for the professional teams look for just certain things, and they miss out on so many guys. And Terrence Shannon can definitely play in the NBA. There's no way in the world he's athletic enough to play. He can handle the ball well enough, and he's big and strong and downhill. You know, he's as good as anybody. But again, we know how the league works. You know, they rather draft a guy who shoots 14% from three and who's long, you know, and they think he's going to be good instead of a proven scorer like Terrence Shannon.
Yep, that's a good point. Well, Ked, I appreciate you jumping on tonight, and we will be back in a minute, and we will bring Brad Sturdy on.
Fans of big sports radio and sports spectacular podcasts have a new home on the Chief Sports Network. Find your favorite programs and content all in one place by downloading the Chief Sports app in your mobile device. Created in South Carolina, the Chief Sports Network is the home of an expanding network of live and podcast format programming. It is also the home of one of the leading national college football podcasts, JC and Morgan, hosted by ESPN's Mike Morgan and 24/7 Sports' JC Sherbert. Download the Chief Sports app for free and find all of your favorite programming under one easy umbrella. Thanks to all of our markets for your loyal support of Big Sports Radio and our Sports Spectacular podcast, and we look forward to connecting with you anywhere in the world on the Chief Sports app.
And we are back. This time, this is Mike Kegley, and we've got Brad Sturdy, the Uber insider for Illini Guys, who was at the game this evening. Brad, you were probably the first person who was on the Nico Moretti bandwagon, even as you described him as he was a recruit, not necessarily a commitment to Illinois. Tonight was both a exciting and a bittersweet evening, as he really was playing quite well. In 13 minutes, he had 4 points, went 2 for 2 from the field, had 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and had a couple turnovers, but for the most part, played really well for the Illini. Then Terrence Shannon inadvertently landed on his foot/ankle area, and it looked very painful from watching the replay. But now, of course, he's in a boot, and they've got to see what's going on. But what are your thoughts on his play, and especially since, you were probably the first person in the media who was really high on him?
Yeah, I go back to, it was July, I think, of, what was it, 2022, when, he was in the kind of international games in Atlanta.
Yep.
When he really kind of burst onto the scene, and it was like, this guy's really good, and Illinois really wanted him, and they were like trying to get him for the next year, as a 2024 recruit, and then they ended up getting him in December early. He came and started with him. So, yeah, really, he's just got such a great feel. He's just so good with the ball. He's so smart. He plays with a different pace than everybody else, because he's not, and I like to say this, he understands what he's doing, and he doesn't play like afraid to turn it over. And yet, you're going to turn it over occasionally, but he makes so many plays and so many right passes. And he'd get more assists if guys actually made shots. That would be a cool concept. But, he's an interesting – he's such a fun player because he gets it. I mean, he just understands basketball. He's a coach's kid. And he's got all the skills. He's got so many skills, and he's got the pace and quickness and – that I don't think people expected. He just needs to get stronger. And what you saw tonight was he actually worked hard on defense, did some good things there. Drew a charge. St. Bruce guy, I'm really impressed with him. I just hope he's okay, because he brings something that they don't have. And it doesn't mean he's going to play 30 minutes as a starting point guard. But, man, it's nice to have a guy who's a true point guard who can come in for 20 minutes a game, and just, you feel like you're going to make the right decisions offensively, especially when you get, a timeout, a dead ball, you can get him in there on offense and play through him. And you notice how many times Shannon scored in running the floor with Moretti kicking the ball ahead to him, and making those reads. Those guys expect to get the ball now when they're open, when he's on the floor.
And I noticed that Shannon even started looking down court himself. And he had several passes, I thought, that found open men. And I wonder if he was kind of inspired, if somebody's sharing the ball with you, that kind of gets you to share the ball with your teammates.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's like they like to say, the ball has life. And the ball has life, or energy, however you want to say it. And it's moving, and guys are attacking and kicking, moving. And it's just fun to watch. And it's not always perfect, but it is much more fun to watch, much more entertaining that way, much more productive offensively when that was happening. And you saw that. I mean, that's why Moretti was – he played 13 minutes of the first half, and they were plus 20 while he was on the floor. I mean, there was a reason for that, because of the way he – because of the way he played, and he had the ball in his hands a lot. And so it's fun to have that. I mean, I know that probably this year isn't going to be a year where he's, gets there, he's not going to be a fully developed guy because he's not physically big or strong yet. But, man, down the road, that's a pretty good player. I mean, that guy's going to be really, really good.
Well, and I was looking at the team, and let's be honest, I'm starting to have some of my annual concerns that this team's not going to be as good of a three-point team as we were hoping. But the interesting thing is, you know, Shannon wasn't hitting his threes, 1 for 5 tonight. But I will tell you that his defense the last few games has been tremendous out on the wing. And you have to wonder, as much, everybody knows he can score, but even the NBA scouts, they got to be looking at the type of defense that he's playing 20, 25 feet from the basket. He's got to be turning some eyes, don't you think?
I mean, he is a NBA-ready wing right now, in a sense that he can guard multiple positions. They always talk about guys who are switchable and guys who can guard multiple guys. He's that guy, shooting 36% from three. You know, so it's a little bit more – he just looks more comfortable shooting. And, obviously we know he's a freak athlete. You know, so
yep.
He can get downhill and he can run the floor in transition. So, yeah, I think he should be able to play in the NBA. And he really should. He's got all the tools to do it. I just think the big thing for him, he can't get hit in the head and get a concussion. And, you know, he goes so hard that, you know, he's got to stay healthy. I think if he's healthy, he's really, really – got a chance to play his way up the NBA draft boards.
Yeah, and that defense, you know, when he's playing that hard, he kind of gets this team, other guys, to do the same thing. Is this team going to be defined by their defense?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I mean, you know, one of their better defenders isn't playing right now in Coleman Hawkins. But I think, you know, Shannon just is this defensive and offensive spark. I mean, this is the best, you know, Underwood says it all the time, he's the best two-way player. I agree with him. He's the best two-way wing in college basketball. Nobody defends and scores like he does. At the same time, you know, you start watching some of these guys. Quincy Guerrier can really defend when he wants to. Ty Rogers can really defend. Justin Harmon can defend. You bring in Dane Danger can block shots, although he struggles in ball screens. He's pretty good at defending at the rim, and he does make some good plays. Monty Hansberry's active. You know, we know Draymond Gibbs-Lahorn is athletic, and Goody and DeMoss play really good position defense. So this is a team that they're not going to turn you over, you know, 20-plus times a game, but they really make it difficult to get clean looks and clean shots off. And that's what they have to do. I think they're one of the top, you know, 10 in the country in defending in field goal percentage defense. So, I mean, if they keep doing that, that really bodes well for the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well. Imani Hansberry was interesting to me, but yet another night, you know, he's got 7 rebounds. He seems to collect an inordinate amount of rebounds, to, you know, and he played 22 minutes, 4 for 5 from the field. We're seeing a guy who I think, as he progresses, is going to develop into a real pain in the butt for the rest of the Big Ten.
Totally agree, Mike. And interesting thing about Imani is that he's not got the physical attributes to probably be like a 1 or 2 and done type guy. He's a 4-year guy because he, you know, he's 6'7". He's playing center. I mean, it's like Wes Unseld back in the day or something, right? And so, yeah. But he does think he's so effective at getting rebounds and then, you know, wedging himself and getting in the right position. And he's got really long arms that helps him. So he plays more like a 6'9 or 6'10 guy because of the 7'4 wingspan. So now I think for him, the big thing is developing his offensive game. And when he does that, it's there. I mean, you can see pieces. But when he does that, I mean, he's going to be really, really good. And I think he's got the chance to be like an all-Big Ten level player in a year or two.
Yeah, he plays that 80s style. He uses that body, and I almost, you know, going through, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be the outside shooter, but Glenn Rice seemed to always be able to get rebounds, and he would get the ball inside. Nobody could block his shot, and yet I'm not certain Glenn Rice ever went further than a half inch off the ground. Just seemed to use his body, and Hansberry seems to be play a very much an older man's game when he gets that leverage.
I was thinking of, like, remember George Montgomery? They're just kind of played low and just gets under people.
Yeah, yeah. Although George, I never really Imani, you know, plays basketball. George, I was always debating whether is he really a basketball player?
He's an effective wrestler too.
Yes, he would have been. From an injury standpoint, what do we know on Moretti? And then if you could also, is there any update on Hawkins?
100% Hawkins is day-to-day, still getting treatment, still the tendonitis and knees. They just need him to get, you know, here's the thing. If they were playing, Kansas tonight, Hawkins would have played.
Right.
So I think it's just a matter of, they've got these games against teams that they can win, and you know they're going to beat Western on Friday night, and so then you have another week, so you can really get him rested and get him right before you head into that games against Rutgers and Florida Atlantic and Tennessee. And here's the reality: like if you're a young guy, you want to get them experience and get them right. But you know Hawkins played for this is fourth year, so. He's a guy that understands. He's been in the same system. He understands what he's doing. So he can afford to miss a game here or there and rehab and rest. So I think that's the plan for him. Ready? They'll do an X-ray. We'll probably find out more tomorrow. But his foot, it sounds to me like it's they don't know what it is. They put him in a boot when he came back out. He took a shower at halftime, got dressed, put on a sweatsuit because he knew he wasn't going to go back in. Put him in a boot as a precaution, just make sure he didn't hurt it. So, like I say, they really just don't know. Nobody really had any idea what it was.
Yeah, that was – it looked painful. That's all I came away with is when I saw that, I thought, man, that's not a good moment when you're on the receiving end of that. Luke Goody seems to be very comfortable with the three-point shot. Domask is passing up quite a few and Quincy is still struggling from out there. Any thoughts on any of those three players?
Well, I mean, you see why they thought Luke Goody would have helped them cure a lot of ills last year with their 3-point shooting.
Yes.
With the guys they had a year ago. I mean, a guy who could shoot 40%+ from three would have really helped in some of those games. So I think that's part of it. But I think he is what he is. What Luke's doing, he's rebounding. I mean, still not, you know, we forget, he's still very inexperienced as a college basketball player.
Yep.
Played very little as a freshman, played very little last year. So he's kind of like a, you know, I would say he's more like a sophomore inexperienced. I mean, he's just figured it out, and he's just going to get better at the floor game aspect of it. You know, whether it be in the right position, passing, whatever. But, you know, the kid can shoot the ball. And that's obviously a skill that's really, really important, especially on this Illinois team that struggles to shoot the ball. As far as Demas, I asked Underwood about this post game, him being more aggressive. He said he'd like him to shoot more, but he's not really worried about him because he just plays. He does what he needs to do. And tonight he didn't need to shoot or didn't need to score, so he didn't really take. He only took three shots. I think I'd like to see him shoot more. It's really hard to get in a rhythm when you only take three shots, especially when your guy's used to, you know, a year ago at Southern, he was taking, you know, 10 to 15 shots every game. And so you'd just like to see him, you know, be a little bit more aggressive offensively. The other thing about Demas, if you watched him play at Southern, and I've gone back and watched some tape, a lot of his stuff was done more on a wing. He's actually being asked to play more legit point guard.
Right.
He ever has. And it's because he's a good passer. It's not that he's a dynamic point guard. He's just a really good passer, and he's a really good player. And so they've asked him to do maybe a different thing. So I don't know what he mentioned tonight. We've asked him to – we played him in a lot of different positions. He's played one, he's played two, he's played three, he's played four. And so when you put a guy in that many different positions in his first year in the system, I don't care if you're a fifth year or not, you're going to have some growing pains. I think that's true with, like, Justin Harmon, too, trying to figure out what his role is, going from a guy who was a – high usage guy throughout all his college career. Now he needs to be a low usage guy and just come in to bring energy. And so finding that role is hard. Gary, the interesting thing about him is he's got all that tape on his right wrist. He got his hand caught in a jersey the day before the Kansas scrimmage. And so since that time, he's now 1-for-16 from 3-point range. And so he's obviously struggling to shoot. He's a guy who's a better shooter than that, for sure. I mean, he shot 30-whatever 35-36% last year or something like that. So he's a better shooter than that. And he'll find his range, I think, but his mental, according to Underwood, is more about, you know, him doing that. What I liked tonight was him getting to the basket. I mean, putting the ball down, finishing hard, and I think he's 5 of 6 or something. Was he 5 of 6 from 2 or something like that? I don't know.
He was, yeah, exactly. He was five of nine. Well, yeah, he's 5 of 6 from 2 and then 0 for 3 from the 3.
Well, at the rim, he was finishing, and they had some dunks where he, you know, some cuts to the basket, different things like that. So, saw some better ball movement or cutters, guys cutting and moving, and Gary was one of them. So, good to see that from him, and because, you know, he's a valuable piece for this team, and they have a lot of, and we've talked about this, their key component outside of Terrence Shannon is their depth. And their depth is good in the sense that they have a lot of guys. If one guy is a bad game, go to a different guy and just try a different one.
Yep, and that's a huge, huge valuable asset to have. Any other final thoughts as we kind of head towards hopefully a celebration of Thanksgiving for the players and then get out there and play against Western on Friday night?
Well, I was a little disappointed because tonight I had 88-56 for the final, and they gave up those last two baskets. So that caused me a pick six for a dunk. I was a little bit disappointed in the Illinois walk-on there.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, you know, they got to do a better job of allowing me to get my prediction correct. But, you know, it was, I think that there's a lot of things. That my takeaway here is that this team has a lot of weapons, a lot of pieces. They're still trying to figure out who does what. But offensively, they're much better when Moretti's on the floor. I'm not worried about, you know, who's there with him other than Shannon. But I personally liked when they had Goody and DeMoss and Shannon and Moretti on the floor and they had Hansberry at the 5. And they had Draven Gibson LaHorn on the floor some for that stretch too. So you had 3 freshmen. That's the kind of thing that's growth, you know, when they make a run like that. 3 freshmen on the floor, man, that is nice. And I just really like those young guys. I think they're good. I think they're the kind of guys that you eventually win with big because none of them are one-and-done types. They're just guys who come in and they develop. And then, you supplement through the portal. And I really like the future of this program. I like where they're at this year, and I like their future going in next year with the guys they have coming in.
Yeah, Hansberry and Morez Johnson seems like that's going to be a pretty good duo on the inside.
Yeah, fantastic. And great thing about Moraz is he can come out and guard on the perimeter too.
Oh, yeah.
So you got Nurk can really, you know, do things. So, yeah. I mean, imagine Hansberry and Danger and Moraz as your front. I mean, is there anybody with more depth up front? So
Not unless Purdue finds a way to get Edie to play for another 9 years.
Yeah, well, they can have 3 7-4 guys.
Exactly, All right. Well, thank you so much, Brad, for giving us that update on what you saw there at the game tonight. We'll be right back in just 1 minute. Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across this great nation or halfway across the planet, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Whether it's game results or what's going on in recruiting behind the scenes, IlliniGuys.com covers it. Only $99 a year, and you get a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button that's right next to the 7-day free trial, and we'd love to have you as a subscriber. IlliniGuys.com. Thanks so much to Brad Sturdy and to Kedrick Prince for stopping by and allowing us to get a little bit of an update on what they saw. We were excited by the victory, and now we will wait until Friday night to see the Illini tip off against Western Illinois. Go Illini!